Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. In the previous perek, we saw Shaul's transformation from a modest, unassuming, and innocent man to a man thrust into the public arena, somewhat reluctantly accepting his new role as the first king of Israel. The end of the perek left us with an image of a fractured nation, with some men actively supporting Shaul and forming an entourage as he returned to his home, while others ridiculed Shaul's apparent lack of leadership qualities. Shaul's failure to censure these hecklers constituted a failure to consolidate the kingship, and against the backdrop of this national instability, Shaul is about to face his first international crisis. Sensing the vulnerability of the new king of Israel, Nachash, the king of Ammon, seized the moment to rise up and set up an encampment against the city of Yavesh Gilad. Yavesh Gilad was an Israelite town east of the Jordan River, belonging to the tribe of Binyamin, in what is today northwest Jordan. At that time, it lay not far from the border between Israel and Ammon in Israeli territory. The people of Yavesh Gilad appealed to Nachash, saying, "Krot lanu brit v'na'avdeka, make a covenant with us, and we will serve you." Da'at Sofrim points out the word kol in the text, kol anshei Yavesh, all of the people of Yavesh Gilad, unanimously joined in this appeal. There was not even one among them who believed they might be saved, or that there would be any point in turning to Shaul and asking for his intervention. They felt that their best option would be to secure a peace treaty, even at the expense of becoming subject to Ammon. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Vayomer Alehem Nachash Ha'amoni, Bezot Echrot Lachem, Bin Kor Lachem Kol En Yamin, V'samti Ha'cherpa Al Kol Yisrael. Nachash responded, "This is how I will form a pact with you, by gouging out the right eye of every one of you, so that it will be a sign of humiliation for all of Israel." The people of Yavesh Gilad asked for a respite of 7 days, so that they could send messengers throughout Israel to see if anyone would come to their defense. They expressed less than total confidence in this mission. They included in their message to Nachash that if no one were to come to their defense, they would accede to his demand, for then indeed it would be a disgrace to all of Israel that no one came to the aid of their brothers and allowed this to happen. The very fact of this uncertainty further attests to the disunity of the Jewish people at the outset of Shaul's monarchy. The messengers from Yavesh Gilad reached Givat Shaul and relayed their message to the people, and the people raised their voices and cried. Just then, Shaul was returning from the field with the cattle and asked, "Why are the people crying?" And they told him the message from Yavesh Gilad. We may well wonder what Shaul was doing with the cattle after having been anointed king of Israel. Rashi assures us that Shaul himself was not busy with the cattle. The text is merely using an agricultural reference, which would have been familiar to people at that time, to designate the time of day. At the time when the cattle returned from the fields, Shaul also appeared on the scene. Radak, however, interprets more literally that upon his return home after the assembly in Mitzpah, Shaul returned to his previous lifestyle and was indeed busy caring for the cattle. Da'at Sofrim suggests that his doing so himself was the result of his hesitancy to make it appear that he was the kind of king that Shmuel had depicted, who would draft people to do his own personal field work. Upon hearing the message from Yavesh Gilad, Pasuk Vav, verse 6, Vatitzlach ruach Elokim al Shaul kisham oet advarim ha'ile, Vayichar apo me'od. The spirit of Hashem rested upon Shaul when he heard these things, and he became very angry. Vayikach tzemed bakar vayenatchehu, Vayishalach bechol gvul Yisrael biyad hamalachim lemor, Asher einenu yotze acharei Shaul v'acharei Shmuel, ko yeyase livkaro. Vayipol pachad Hashem al ha'am vayetzu ki ish echad. He took a pair of oxen and cut them into pieces, which he sent with the messengers throughout the land of Israel, saying, "Whoever does not go out after Shaul and after Shmuel, such will be done to his cattle." and the fear of God fell upon the nation, and they went out ki ish echad, as one body. Shaul's anger here is entirely l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven. While anger is not usually considered a positive character trait, here it is prompted by a divine spirit and is exactly what is required to ignite the hearts of the people to action. This is a decisive act on Shaul's part, one worthy of a king. While Shaul is now ready to embrace his role, are the people ready for him? Radak explains that Shaul's inclusion of Shmuel indicates his recognition that perhaps not all the people had accepted him as king, and therefore he implied, those who don't want to follow me, follow Shmuel. Mishpatot Zahav clarifies that Shmuel himself did not go out to war, but Shaul meant that the people should follow Shmuel's guidance and go out to war under Shaul's leadership as the anointed of Shmuel. Malbim notes that there's a subliminal message which is inherent in sending these dissected animals with the messengers. Just as the spirit that animates the cattle only exists when the animal is whole, so too the life of the nation can only exist when all the disparate parts of the people unite as one and come to the aid of one another. This is a message that certainly resonates with us today. Then, as now, the message was received and the people came out ki'ish echad, as one man. Pasuk Chet, verse 8. Vayifkedem bevazek. Vayiyu v'nei Yisrael 300,000 v'ish Yehuda 30,000. Shaul counted them in Bezek, and there were 300,000 men of Israel and 30,000 men of Yehuda. The Gemara explains Bezek not as a place name, but as to mean broken pottery, indicating that Shaul counted them by collecting a pottery shard from each man and then counting the shards, as it is prohibited to count people directly. Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Vayomru la malachim habaim, ko tomrun le'ish yavesh gilad, machar tiyeh lachem tshu'ah kechom hashamesh, vayavo hamalachim vayagidu la'anshei yavesh vayismachu. And they said to the messengers, say to the people of Yavesh Gilad, tomorrow by the heat of the day, there will be salvation for you. The messengers arrived and told the people of Yavesh, and they rejoiced. They in turn sent messengers to Ammon, saying, tomorrow we will come out to you. Do to us as you see fit. Abarbanel points out that the message is deliberately vague. Ammon may well have assumed that they would be coming out to surrender rather than to fight. Meanwhile, Shaul divided the nation into three divisions and attacked from three vantage points at the crack of dawn, and by the heat of day, they had defeated Ammon decisively. Any survivors were scattered and escaped individually. No two remained together. Upon witnessing this salvation, which was spearheaded by Shaul, Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Vayomer ha'am el Shmuel, mi ha'omer Shaul yimloch aleinu, tnu ha'anashim, unmitem. The people said to Shmuel, who are those who mocked Shaul, saying, will Shaul rule over us? Hand them over, and we will kill them. But Shaul demurred, saying, no one will be put to death today, for today Hashem has brought about salvation in Israel. Ralbag suggests that Shaul may have intended to give the impression that while today is not the right time to execute anyone, it being dedicated to celebrating the salvation that Hashem had wrought, they would indeed be put to death at a later date. Or perhaps he may have meant that they were indeed to be pardoned completely. The Gemara in Masechet Yuma 22b, which we learned yesterday, criticized Shaul for not acting against those men immediately, and cites that the threat of Nachash is the direct outcome of Shaul's failure to act decisively in defense of the king's honor. The Gemara is extended by Rashi to include Shaul's willingness to let them go this second time. Ultimately, this quality of misplaced humility will lead to the loss of Shaul's throne, as we will see in the coming chapters. Nevertheless, while the sense of jubilation in their victory prevailed, Shmuel seized the opportunity to call for an assembly of the nation in Gilgal for a renewal of the melucha, a renewal of the kingship, now that Shaul has the broad support of the people. Pasuk Tzedvav, verse 15, Vayelchu el kol ha'am ha'gilgal, Vayamlichu sham et Shaul lifnei Hashem ba'gilgal, Vayizbechu sham zvachim shlamim lifnei Hashem, Vayismach sham Shaul v'chol anshei Yisrael ad me'od. The nation went to Gilgal and coronated Shaul there before Hashem. They offered sacrifices before Hashem, and Shaul and all the people of Israel rejoiced greatly. And here we see a big change from the beginning of the chapter, which featured the disunity, the fractured nature of the Jewish people at that time. And here, Vayelchu kol ha'am, the entire nation as one, went to the Gilgal to crown Shaul as king. Vayizbechu sham zvachim shlamim. The korbanot that they brought, the offerings, were peace offerings. Shlamim are offerings that are shared among the people. They feasted upon by the nation together. They brought peace offerings lifnei Hashem, by Ismach Sham Shaul, and they rejoiced there again. Bechol Anshei Yisrael, unified the entire nation of Israel, rejoiced greatly in the kingship of Shaul. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmot Imhotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.